blindness. Have your faith in the ever after, while each of us holds inside the map to the labyrinth. And heaven's here on earth.
Micro Macro Enviro Radio, WSLR 96.5 FM, low power community radio in Sarasota. You can listen online, www.wslr.org, and this show will be archived there for 2 weeks. Check out our Facebook page for articles and music pertaining to the show, Micro Macro Enviro Radio on Facebook, and the song you just are listening to is Tracy Chapman, Heaven's Here on Earth. Guests calling in, and let's see if we can hear them clearly.
All right. Okay. Okay, I have to adjust all the sound here. It's a little strange, but okay. I'm happy to have calling in today. Let's see what I can adjust this better. Happy to have calling in today on the phone, Elizabeth Manoian and Robert Ferry, founding directors of LAGI, that's the LandArtGenerator.org, Land Art Generator Initiative, and you can find them at LandArtGenerator.org. And Elizabeth and Robert, I just want to hear your voices and make sure you sound good. So can you just say hi?
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Yeah, you both sound great, better than me, actually. So if you want to just explain a little bit about your organization, and I'll set my sound.
Super.
Yeah, the Land Art Generator Initiative is a way to bring forward renewable energy infrastructures that are designed to be culturally relevant and even works of public art in public places. So the space between our buildings and public parks and waterfronts, how can they be seen as opportunities for creativity, cultural expression, but also a part of the renewable energy grid?
That's great and very interesting. You both have a lot to share, so I can just go right to our questions, and if we have time at the end, you know, you can talk more about what's currently happening. Is that good?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. So how did the Land Art Generator Initiative come into being? How did this happen?
Well, it's a fun question. We were living in Dubai in 2008, and we really found ourselves inspired by the landscape and inspired by the ambitious nature of the development in the region, and also learned that there was a land art movement within the Emirati art community. So we were fascinated by all of that and really wanted a project to work on that merged our talents and skills. Robert's an architect, and I'm an artist and designer. And at the same time, we were really hearing that there was a big NIMBY movement around the world around renewable energy installations. So it's with all of that background that we came up with the idea of the Land Art Generator Initiative and launched our first competition, putting out a call to the world to design large-scale public artworks that are also renewable energy power plants for three sites in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
And Elizabeth, you sound really good when you speak loudly, so it sounds great, so go for it. And also, when you talk about the NIMBY problem or issue, how big of a problem is that? And maybe just briefly explain, so when people are installing renewable energy, what happens?
Sure. It's a good question. You know, we're finding that there are cases with both wind installations and solar installations where there's community pushback.
So just for any of your listeners who don't know the acronym, it stands for Not in My Backyard. And it applies to a lot of things, a lot of land use issues around homeless shelters, for example, where communities are in some cases reticent to change. And as it applies to energy landscapes, it means that people who live in view of a mountain ridge, for example, may not want to see that turn into a bunch of horizontal axis wind turbines. You know, I find them, and Elizabeth also, I think, finds them quite beautiful in their own right. And additionally, you know, fields of blue solar panels. However, it may not be the right solution, that utilitarian approach for every instance. And what's exciting is that we're living in a time where there's a very big expansion in all the kinds of technologies that are coming on board for different kinds of solar technology, organic photovoltaic thin films and flexible solar panels and all kinds of colors and shapes. And it really allows artists and other creatives the opportunity to think differently about how we can merge these systems of survival with our landscapes to make them more beautiful. And in cases when a community might not want that utilitarian approach, work with the community and come up with something that everybody can be happy about.
Mm. And is there a direction that you want the Land Art the Land Art Generator Initiative to go from here, or are you waiting to see how it evolves?
Well, a bit of both. We really love the organic unfoldings of LAGI, and, you know, we love it when unexpected opportunities present themselves. But at the same time, we have very clear goals for the next decade.
Yeah, and we're absolutely interested in constructing. So at this point, we've held 5 large-scale international open call competitions. To each one, we get hundreds of submissions representing thousands of creative minds around the world. And we have tasked the participants with working at an ambitious scale, sometimes 100-acre sites, because we come out of and inspired by the land art genre, where artists use the natural landscape as a canvas for creative expression. So we're in the process of working with site owners to develop those large-scale projects. But in the meantime, we're also working at other scales, community energy projects, where there may be a couple of vacant lots that a neighborhood might want to come together and build a solar plant on. And you can either put the panels on the ground and surround it by a chain-link fence with some barbed wire, or you can do something even better. You can lift the panels off the ground, provide a public park, do something more creative, perhaps create a solar mural for your neighborhood, and we can talk more about that. But there are so many options out there, and it's a really visual project, so we do recommend your listeners go to landartgenerator.org and check out all of the ideas that have come in.
At the same time, as we see push for the construction of land art generators, we also really see a tremendous amount of interest for our educational programming. So since the very beginning of our nonprofit organization and our programming with Loggy, we've been developing STEAM educational programming that we put out for free. And we see that because of the continued interest from educators and students, that we will definitely be expanding our educational programming over the next few years.
So, like, projects like Energy Duck, it's this huge five-story duck that's made out of solar panels, and it generates enough electricity to power 50 homes or entire neighborhood. And, you know, what better way to engage the mind of young people than to show them an image of a renewable energy power plant that is a duck? Because it's just crazy and awesome. So you want to get young people interested in learning about science and energy technology, energy science, and the art is a really great way to open the door.
Yes, and if a person is completely fascinated and drawn to this project, how can they get involved, and can people donate or volunteer?
Yes, well, we are a small nonprofit organization, so all donations are welcome, and there's a support tab on our website that takes folks to a page that will then take them to PayPal. But, you know, we're a project that is built on the strength of partnerships and participation. Otherwise, it's just the two of us. So really the greatest way to be involved is for communities, organizations, cities to bring us in to partner on projects with them. That could be, again, through educational programming. That could be through built outcomes. There's a wide range of ways we can work with partners around the world. But also, you know, participate in our competitions. We invite everyone to the table. We don't think it's a project just for artists, and we definitely don't think it's a project just for architects and landscape architects. We nurture interdisciplinary collaborations, so we like to see everyone at the table, and we've seen poets entering our competitions and scientists and really, anyone who's interested in the design of our energy landscapes.
In our local Sarasota area, we have some amazing local organizations that really work with water and land. And our air is not that polluted yet, but you know, we have a lot of people here working on the local environment. So if someone was fascinated by the work you're doing, would they contact you? I mean, first study your website and learn about it, and then...
Well, we respond to every single email that comes in, and we're easy to find. We're at L-A-G-I, Loggy, at landartgenerator.org, and we mean that sincerely. We get emails from grade school students, and we write them back, and we meet up for coffee as we travel the country, and, you know, we really, again, we nurture those relationships. So the best way is if someone has an idea, and it doesn't have to be around energy infrastructure. If someone has an idea for a partnership, the best thing is to email us, and we will email back pretty quickly.
I see it. I'll definitely suggest to people who are listening to check out your website and see the images on your website. So it's it's landartgenerator.org, www.landartgenerator.org. Amazing images. Incredible. Yeah. Okay. Were you going to say something? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Dead air on the radio is no good. But I was just going to add that if anyone's interested in bringing us to Sarasota, and we have had a couple of discussions briefly, but nothing's gone too far yet. There are a number of models that we work in. We do the major design competitions. We do invited competitions, which is an opportunity to get local teams involved. We do smaller scale art and energy workshops with kids that results in a built outcome, usually to power a school or a library. and we do solar mural programming where you can, anything you can imagine in paint on the side of a building, you can now do with solar panels. It looks just the same, but it generates electricity for 30 or 40 years instead of just chipping off.
That's amazing. And for people tuning in, you're listening to, that's Robert Ferry speaking and Elizabeth Manoian, and their director, the founding directors of LAGI, which is the Land Art Generator Initiative. And you can find them online, landartgenerator.org. Okay, our next question is, well, if each of you could wave your magic wand, what would you make happen? Elizabeth?
Well, it's such a fun question. Last week we were driving home from on a road trip, and we were listening to an interview on the Chris Hayes podcast, an interview with Andrew Revkin, and we heard them sharing a really moving story about a conversation that Andrew Revkin was having with Walter Monk, and he is a great oceanographer. And Andrew asked Walter about solutions for climate change, and Walter responded that this requires a miracle of love and unselfishness. And I really was moved to tears when I heard this interview. And I think that that's what I would do with my magic wand, is I would cast this spell of love and unselfishness, because we really are in a serious situation, and people need to come together and put away their egos and put away their politics and come together collectively.
Thank you. That's great. I love that. Thank you. And Robert, what would you do if you could wave your magic wand? What would you make happen?
Well, I can't match the beauty of that sentiment from Elizabeth, so I'll get a little bit more weedsy and just say that we really need leadership from the top, and, you know, there's a limit to what informed and concerned individuals can do with changes to their lifestyle, and we've pretty much gotten close to the ceiling on that. Conscientious people are doing everything they can to conserve energy, but still the parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere is at 410 or 12 and rising, and we've already baked in so much damage over centuries from now. We really need to do something immediately, as quickly as possible. So if I had a magic wand, I would really initiate a new public works administration kind of a project like the WPA of the early part of the 20th century, and redo our entire energy grid and infrastructure. And as a part of that, just like happened with the WPA, we would engage artists in that. If you've ever been to the Hoover Dam in Nevada, you know that people go there not to see it because it's a hydroelectric dam necessarily, but because they want to see that beautiful Art Deco art and architecture. And it's an opportunity with this new investment in our infrastructure, which will be $1 trillion or more, to provide these new monuments for people to come and visit 100 years from now that can mark this much more important time in human history, this great energy transition, and tell the story of what happened at this time. So culture is so important. But we really need that top-down leadership and investment.
Thank you so much for emphasizing those points. Yes, we need to do all these things, and I hope we can as soon as possible. And, you know, I had the question of how urgent is our situation. I think you sort of spoke to that already, but is there anything else about, like, the timeline we're working on? Because I feel like a lot of our great ideas could take 50 years. We don't really have 50 years, right?
Yeah, but the technology exists already. The thing we can't do is keep waiting for that, nuclear fusion to provide us all with free energy in our basement closet. It's not going to happen, in our lifetime. We have solar, we have wind, we have all sorts of hydro technologies from the oceans and our rivers, and it can be done in harmony with nature. And we just need to do it, and we need to do it creatively, and we need to engage people. And one of the things that we try to do with the Land Art Generator Initiative is show positive examples of how beautiful a post-carbon future can be, so that we can give folks out there something to run towards rather than run away from, which some of the climate communications emphasis on disaster is doing. And so really call people to action to bring about this beautiful and wondrous culture of stewardship in a post-carbon world.
Thank you. So everyone's listening to Robert Ferry and Elizabeth Manoian. And if you want to check out their website, it's landartgenerator.org. And I highly suggest you look at it. It's kind of mind-blowing. The images are beautiful and amazing. And not only are they great sculptures, they would create the energy for your town. And I'm wondering, like, how many of these would you need in a town or in a small city like ours? And, like, how many homes or businesses could a land art generator power?
Some of the larger ones can power 1,000 homes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, divide by 1,000. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we're not trying to take the place of utility scale energy infrastructure. We're still going to need those wind farms and solar arrays out there in the landscape. But distributed energy is more resilient energy. When energy generation happens closer to the places that it's consumed, it's less susceptible to a lightning strike taking out a huge transformer and blocking off a quarter of the grid, for example. And so as we build our new energy infrastructure, it will be manifest in smaller bite-sized pieces in neighborhoods and on rooftops and in parks and around the edges of our cities. So these are opportunities for artists to get involved. And I think, you know, there will be a healthy mix between maybe 85% utility scale out there and the other 15% within our cities and homes. And so it's that part of the equation that we're really focused on.
There's a sculpture right downtown in Sarasota that's in one of our traffic circles. It's all relatively new, and it works really well. It looks beautiful. But I look at it, and I'm like, it's not making energy after looking at your website.
Ah, you've got the bug. That happens to us all the time.
It's just sitting there, not making energy.
And we see these beautiful materials that are used in artworks and building facades, and we think, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous, but what a missed opportunity, because easily it could have been some type of solar material.
And when you use solar as the media for your creative expression, your artwork pays itself back over time with kilowatt hours generated, and it pays back its own embodied carbon footprint as well. So this is what we call regenerative artworks, and we hope that more and more of those start springing up.
Wow. And so there are flashcards. Please tell us about them and how people can get these flashcards.
Well, we create a lot of educational materials for all ages, and the flashcards are one of those. They happen to be dual language, Danish and English. We really like to put out content in dual language if our partners have that interest. And it's STEAM programming. It really gives an overview of science, technology, engineering, math, with art at the core. So this isn't, we heard someone talk about a lot of STEAM programming as stickers on robots, you know, where people just aren't getting it, the art at the core of it. But our programming really is. I mean, you know, what an inspiring way to teach young people math equations and basics of science, technology, and engineering. So all of our materials are free downloads on our website, and that's at landartgenerator.org. There's an education tab. And we're really excited because right now, hot off the press, we've just finished an art plus energy card game. So imagine a deck of cards that you're playing, and you have to match technology with the land art generator artwork, and you're having to actually speak the technologies out loud to play this game. And those are, we just got those from the printer, and we are mailing them for free to educators. So if there are any educators listening, we would love to get these cards in your hands and in your classroom, and we'll mail them to you for free. And they are also on our website as a free PDF download.
That card game is called Power, Play to Zero to Win the Energy Transition.
Wow, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that information. So we have 5 minutes left. If you want to just maybe talk about one of your current projects or some, you know, something that you guys are working on, please do, and or just repeat the contact information, how people can get involved and see the work that's been done. Go for it.
Well, our most recent competition has just closed for Melbourne, Australia. And it was really interesting because it was one of the first times that we were working with a city. It's a city just south of Melbourne called the city of Port Phillip. And there's a site there called St. Kilda Triangle, which has a wonderful history. And the St. Kilda neighborhood is one of the recreational hubs of Greater Melbourne, where people go to the beach, and there's Luna Park, where you can go on roller coasters, etc. So it's got this rich cultural history, but for many decades, the site has been a parking lot next to the Palais Theatre, and there's a large regeneration plan. There's a master plan that's been approved for going forward, but it's just a concept. So we used that master plan as the underlay and asked teams to provide their energy overlay. So how would you interact with that master plan, keeping the most salient parts of it intact, but add all of your energy artwork to it so that it can be self-powering the entire development? And the results are really fascinating. You can go to our blog. If you go to landartgenerator.org and click on the blog, then you can just scroll through many, many proposals that have come in for the 2018, and those are very fresh, just published. And in October, we'll be announcing the winners on October 11th in a big event at Fed Square in Melbourne. If any of your listeners happen to be in Melbourne or heading there, what else we have going on?
I just want to go back to the blog post. We're really lucky this year to be working with a journalist named Tasleen Leyland. She's written for The Guardian and for Inhabitat and quite a bit of work out there. And she has been helping us as a communications director this year and has taken the time to interview many of the Loggy design teams. And, you know, we've just never had the capacity to do that. So we're really delighted to, share with the world the stories behind the submissions. And if folks go to our blog, which is very easy to get to on our website, they can read some of the background information and what inspired the teams to participate in the competition. And some of them are university students. Some of them are professionals. It's a wide range.
Another project that's really hot off the press is a competition that we ran in Willimantic, Connecticut. And the outcome of that was an invited competition where three regional teams competed, and the winner, Rio Illuminato, by Peary Associate Architects and team, is a wonderful proposal, and we're now working with our local partners there to implement that project. It's a beautiful example of an engaging community energy scale project for a new public park in the heart of Willimantic. So that's a really great example of the kind of project that we'd love to do in Sarasota.
Well, thank you so much for speaking on our radio show. And everyone, you're listening to Elizabeth Manoian and Robert Ferry, the founding directors of LAGI, the Land Art Generator Initiative. You can find them landartgenerator.org. And, yeah, anyone who's interested should definitely check out the website and reach out to you guys. We could use some energy-generating art in our area. We've got tons of sun here, not a lot of wind, unless there's a giant storm. And, yeah, but we've got so much sun. I mean, we've got, you know, we have to use it. And some people have been adding solar panels to their house, but, you know, we need a lot more. So we're pretty much out of time, but I thank you so much for speaking.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Real pleasure.
Thanks. Take care and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.